BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Morning, if you're waking up, it's Tuesday on the Chris Moore Show with Scott Mills. Chris is back on Monday with the whole team. And now let's go back in time and relive one of our favourite 24 years at the Tap End Stories. It's a repeat. Oh, it's all going blurry. Oh, God. Oh, it's all, I'm sure I've heard this before.
I thought we'd go to the 19th year. I know it is a busy year, this one, but a lot of stuff happened.
OK, well, let's have another story from the 19th year.
Ready?
Ready.
Ready.
I was having a brilliant time at Southampton Uni, but it's fair to say I was missing my mates from home. Because everyone was all over the UK, either at different universities or doing their jobs, we all struggled to meet up, which was especially a shame when it was someone's birthday. What are you laughing
at? It's just the way you said jobs.
Well, what's wrong with that? Someone had jobs.
I don't know
what. Doing their jobs.
Yeah. It sounded rude. Carry on.
You're ruining it.
But one day, an email went round. It was soon to be Chinese Dave's birthday, and unlike on my birthday, all the boys were quite keen to make an effort.
Why weren't they on your birthday?
Well, do you remember we had that surprise party? Well, I thought it'd be a surprise party, and no one turned up.
Oh, yeah. Didn't happen, did it?
Generally, as a group, we were quite poor at organising nights out. But Chaz took control, and a plan was set into motion for all the boys to travel to Leeds University, where Chinese was doing his degree. We were to attempt the legendary Otley Run.
Is that like a marathon, is it?
Kind of, yes. It's quite a long stretch of Leeds where you run through, except you're moving in between bars on route. So sort of, but...
But it's a pub crawl.
Basically, yeah.
And this is famous in Leeds?
Yeah, and sort of the surrounding areas, Manchester and all that.
Yeah.
These were exciting times. All the boys were looking forward to it. We were to attempt the Otley Run, a legendary night out that students at Leeds Uni do. It wasn't long till the weekend came round and I travelled back to London to meet up with Chaz and Ollie Butler. A girl we knew had offered to drive us up to Leeds if we split the petrol money, and all the other lads were to meet us there. If I'm honest, the journey was a bit long. She sang the whole way, which was a little bit annoying. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
We didn't say anything, though. We appreciated the lift. And after a couple of hours, we arrived at James Bailey Park Halls. Parked the car in a hurry and made our way inside. All the boys were already there and excited about the night out. Our group never really did fancy dress, but tonight Chinese wanted us to seem a bit more sociable to other people and insisted we wore beachwear. Butler wasn't happy with this and at first refused to rub a ring. He told Dave fancy dress was for mugs, but eventually we managed to compromise with a garland. He wore it begrudgingly. I donned a bright yellow Watford shirt, swim shorts and snorkel to accessorise. We set off as a group to the first bar of the Utley Run. It was pouring with rain and freezing cold, and no one else seemed to be in fancy dress. As I walked into the first bar, I heard someone announce that the Flower Army had arrived. But I ignored it, a little uncomfortable that no one was in fancy dress, as I had been told they would. I made sure I ordered my beer extra loud at the bar to make it clear that we were lads. We were to only stay in the first place for one anyway, and this was turned into a very swift one when some funny locals started playing Club Tropicana through the pub jukebox. This wasn't how it was meant to be.
No one else in fancy dress?
No, not in the first pub we went to, no. So we all just felt a bit stupid. And they're a bit harder up north, aren't they? And the thing is, I mean in the sense that the blokes don't... I don't think they like the idea of a load of sort of guys from London strolling in beachwear.
Do they not?
And it's pouring with rain. No, they just weren't impressed. After the disastrous start, we moved through a couple more bars. And in the third, came across a couple of other groups, all in fancy dress.
Hooray!
There was one group dressed entirely as sheep, with one man as a shepherd, and another group all dressed up as Where's Wally. Our fancy dress looked inadequate in comparison. As usual with our group, we were sat in the corner not being very sociable. A few of us huddled around the it box. I waste so much money on those things, and that day was no exception. I must have boshed about £3.50 and was struggling, when all of a sudden a man leant over my shoulder and confidently pressed Dame Helen Mirren.
I love those quiz machines.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've had that before as well, where someone actually does lean over and presses it for you.
It's because the time counts down and they can see your panic, and I think it's just the sort of gentlemanly thing to do is reach around and press the... Oh, God.
That is gentlemanly.
And press the button.
In my book.
So that's what he did.
Right there?
Right.
Sure? Do you want Chris to continue?
Yes, please.
May I? What's funny with that? Oh, God, what's going on now?
Do the tap end.
We turned to thank him, but again he leant over and pressed the next answer. And the next. And the next. He didn't say a word. He was just a man in green who seemed to have the knowledge of the it box. To us, he was a hero. And as we moved from bar to bar, we took him with us.
Or you're like, oh, do you want to come with us, mate?
He didn't say one word that night. It was really weird. He just sort of stood there with a drink and just kept leaning over and getting the right answer. He was like some guru of the it box. Like a prophet. Or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
he just knew all the answers.
Yeah. Much like a mascot, we took him with us. People were loving him, and we were meeting girls just because of the man in green and his knowledge of the it box. Our night was gathering momentum, and we were actually meeting people. In one bar, we even met Lee from Hollyoaks, who seemed to also be out on the Otley run. My mate Tom was flipping beer mats, which the girls loved. He managed 32 at one point.
They love that, don't they?
That's a lot.
Seriously, he can do a lot. I mean, I've spoken to him about doing this on Britain's Got Talent. You know, like one of those combo acts? Like the people who do arrange flowers and then one of them sings?
Right.
I thought he could flip beer mats and I could, I don't know, drink a pint of lager or...
You think that's going to get to the final, yeah?
Well, I think it'll be like one of those quirky acts.
Yeah, but what are you going to do the next time?
You need some sort of dog.
Well, he could do more beer mats and I could drink 2 pints of lager. And as we ended up at the Leeds Student Uni, Johan swapped tops with a girl during the Grease Megamix to ensure a pull.
How does that ensure a pull?
Well, yeah, which bit ensures the pull? Swapping the shirts or doing it during the Grease...
The Grease Megamix came on and he was trying to encourage her because he was in beachwear.
Yeah.
And she was wearing quite like a sort of skimpy-ish top.
Yeah.
And I think to try and impress her, he was like, yeah, well, just it seemed like a fun thing to do at the time and it probably showed that he was good fun, I imagine, to the girl.
What, wearing women's clothes?
No,
that's
don't...
like when a man tried asked my friend if he could wear her shoes. It didn't make us fancy him, it just made us think he was a bit weird.
I remember that.
So do I.
Yeah. We were all there for that, weren't we? Yes, we were. They did fit him, though, didn't they?
They did, yeah. He was proud to be size 5.
Yeah. He had lady feet.
That was his USP.
He looked a bit weird and regretted walking home through town in a skimpy top. But all the same, he got the result. It was possibly the greatest performance from my group. I was quite proud. As the night ended and we left the club singing the end bit of Hey Jude, we made our way back to Chinese Dave's kitchen. It had been an epic night out in Leeds. We cooked up some potato waffles on the lean, mean, fat grilling machine and fell asleep on the kitchen floor.
Oh, that sounds like a brilliant night to me.
Perfect.
Yeah.
The next day I woke up with no regrets, my snorkel missing and profanity drawn on my arm. I can't say what it was.
No, I think I can probably guess.
It had been an amazing night and I hope to one day go back to rerun the Otley run.
Oh, I'm sure I've heard that before. Oh, God. Oh, I have. Because it was a classic episode of Tap End. More tomorrow morning.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning, Connor Maynard.
What is up?
How are you?
I'm cool. How are you guys?
Very good. Thanks for coming into our glamorous basement to see us early.
It's kind of dark now. Can we turn some lights on?
But you didn't expect really one to be like this, did you? Obviously, we've been playing your track, Can't Say No, a lot. You might have noticed.
Yes, I have. I've
it's
heard
on.
It quite a few times. So.
Whoa, who just turned the lights on in here?
Go.
We've got these new kind of lights which we're trying out, which are a little bit weird.
Why are you guys naked?
No, I'm joking. it's become clear, Connor, that when it comes to girls, you just can't say no.
Yeah, it's actually an illness. I've kind of had trouble with. With that song, I feel it was definitely kind of meant to be seen as a more tongue in cheek kind of thing. When I was writing it. When I was writing it, the main idea that I had in my head, the main kind of thing was the whole Houston, I think we got a problem.
Right, so that's and where it started.
That's exactly where it started. That was the only line that was on the track, and then we thought, yeah, we can't just have one line on a track that doesn't really work like that.
So you just thought you'd brag for the rest of it.
Yeah, so the rest of it is like, right, let's write about girls, let's go. Then we kind of came up with the girls, girls, girls catchy chorus, and then we linked them together. So we just had that, and we thought, you know, it's just a catchy thing, I suppose, to sing along to and makes you wanna jiggle. So
do you actually find it easy to get girls?
Do I find it easy to get girls?
Yeah. As your song suggests.
Or
you just all talk.
When I walk outside, girls run. No. In the song I claim that girls kind of, I walk down the street and I'm like, hey, and the girls are like, what's up? But that wasn't really the case. If I did that, they'd probably put a restraining order on me or something. But I always knew that being in the kind of music industry and being a singer, sometimes it is part of it, and girls find it rather alluring.
That's a hard question to answer, I think, because if you go, yeah,
get yeah, no,
it makes
like,
you sound
no.
like an idiot. And if you go, no, it makes you sound like
an absolute loner.
I know. There's no real middle ground in that question, is there? No one comes out of that well. Do you think you could say no to Becky? This is what I've been asking since we knew you were coming in.
I think I think the real question is, can Becky say no to me? Okay, she's gone. Can someone get Becky back?
That was good. It's weird because I've been out a few times in bars, because you're from Brighton, right?
Yes.
Where you're from, and I've never had that problem. In fact, there were hardly any girls in the bars that I went to.
We're in Brighton?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have that problem sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Now, your fans are called Maniacs.
Yes.
And do they follow you everywhere?
They fit the name. They do sometimes kind of do some crazy things that would make them seem like actual, like, mentally ill people, but
do they turn up when you're really not expecting them?
I think sometimes. I mean, like, I went on a radio tour last week, and I was kind of saying where I was going, and some places I didn't really know where it was, so I didn't say where I was going, and then they were still outside waiting, and we had one incident where it was too crazy and I wasn't allowed outside for like security reasons, and so
then they hate you.
Yeah, no, and then they turn, and then we went to the car park. They were waiting in the car park by the car. They'd broken in to the car park, waiting there. They got kicked out, and they chased me back to the hotel where they just banged on the hotel door, and then I came out in the morning and they were still there.
Really?
Yes. All for a picture.
Well, so they've been there all night?
Oh, just, like, to touch my face. That's all they wanted. Like, literally, that was it. And then they've been there, like, the whole time. It was insane.
So they finally get to meet you, and then they've just got massive bags under their eyes. Yesterday's makeup. Well,
it literally was, like, 28 days later, just, like, waiting outside the door.
So, yeah, you're not looking your best, love.
Yeah.
You look like a zombie.
Yeah.
So they turn up when you're not expecting them, and they just want to lick your face?
Yeah,
mostly. Or touch it. Sorry, no, you didn't say lick.
It's you that said lick the face.
Yeah, I know.
I made that bit up, didn't I? And what do they say to you? Because we've had this before where people get to speak to their favourite pop star and then they don't know, like, they've been hours waiting. They've been outside your room all night waiting for you to get a good 8 hours sleep. Oh. And then when it actually gets to the point of, like, and ask a question, they go...
I've actually noticed that. So I did my first show in London, and there was kind of like a meet and greet afterwards, and I was signing things, and they were all so excited in the queue. Like, you could see them, like, going, oh my God, I'd love to meet him. Then they get to you and they're like,
oh my God.
Yeah, no, they don't even say that. Just go, hi. I was like, what's up? And they're like, thanks, bye. And this is what I was like, okay.
It's cute. What do all your mates think of you being like a proper pop star now? Because obviously you built up a following by putting videos on YouTube. Yeah. That's how it started, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So has anything massively changed?
I consider myself very lucky in, like, who I'm surrounded by in terms of, like, friends and family. My friends definitely still treat me like the idiot that I was kind of before everything happened, and, you know, it keeps you very grounded all the time, keeps my feet firm on the ground, and my parents are always like, you know, what's happening next? Like, they don't kind of get too overexcited, like, oh my God, you're number two on the show. No, they ask me, what, you know, what's going on.
Is that an impression of your mum?
Yeah, I don't know why I did that. Sorry, mum. She's probably sitting there with her toast and marmalade right now thinking, I'm turning this off right now.
And do you have, like, blacked out cars to take you everywhere now, or will you still be getting the super off-peak return
to
Brighton?
I got the bus back home the other day.
Mega bus?
Yeah, no. I live in London now. I live in Brighton. I moved from Brighton. I finished in the studio. And like,
got the coach.
Rolling out the big studio with the big producers and then get on a bus and go home.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Here's a question I quite like to ask. Do you still have to buy your own loo rolls? Because I reckon there's a point of fame where everything in your house is already there. Like, for instance, when do you think Rihanna last bought a loo roll?
That's very true. I can't really imagine her walking into Sainsbury's.
They'd just be there already, wouldn't
they? Which one should she go to? I don't know which one she'd go for, though. Like the triple soft? Or
I think she
quilted.
Would go. Yeah,
quilted.
Yeah, you wouldn't have like that. Any
diamond encrusted. No.
You wouldn't have that tracing paper stuff. You'd have like it's Rihanna's bottom. Hello. Did it really happen that in that kind of fairy tale way, which I want it to have happened like this, where some music bigwig tracked you down on the internet and went, I'm going to make this kid a star, while smoking a large cigar?
Well, the person that did actually find me, I was lucky enough to be spotted firstly by Neo.
No big one then.
Yeah, no, just an average guy. You know, yeah. Off the Matrix? No, I'm joking. Neo first saw my video. I did a cover of Beautiful Monster and he saw it. And
how did he get to see it? Was he just...
That's kind of funny.
Googling himself?
About that, because I think, he must have been searching himself on YouTube and then come across me. And
just see what people are saying about me this week. Oh, look, there's someone singing one of my songs.
Exactly. He saw that, and then someone who knew him kind of reached out and was like, look, Neo would love to work with you. And I didn't want to kind of get too ahead of myself. I didn't want to get all the way out to America, ring up the number, like, oh, where are you? And they're like, my Brighton mate's just like, yeah, we were just joking. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to go to America.
Really, Neo?
Yeah, like, wait. But so I asked, I was like, is there any proof? Is there any way that I can kind of... that you can prove it? And then sure enough, a few days later, I was actually sitting on Skype with Neo from my house at like 1 a.m.
So as you do.
That was pretty intense. I think I was in my pyjamas as well.
That's weird,
isn't it? Keep quiet. So that was an amazing experience, definitely.
Did you, obviously, when you were on Skype, you knew that you were going to be on Skype with Neo before. Did you have a quick tidy up of the house?
So
that,
no,
like, you
I
don't want like pants,
up.
Pants on the
just
radiator.
My head. No, well, to be fair, I didn't actually know if it was going to be him. I was so expecting it to be my mate, just like what, on the camera, and I'd be like, oh.
That would be a bit of a harsh one
that
to
would
do.
Be, I know, that would be like, you've literally like ruined my life.
Yeah. And did you, is this true that you hung out with Pharrell in Miami?
That is true.
How did that happen? Through Neo?
No. And this was a few weeks ago, actually. I'd just done a showcase for the label, and I just showed them what I was about to do, my first ever show, so I was kind of nervous, and I showed them what I was going to be doing. And they come up to me afterwards, and they were like, that's great, like, we're really impressed. And I was like, okay, thank you. And then they looked at each other, and they were like, shall we tell him? And I was like, what? They're like, shall we tell him? And I was like, oh, God, tell me. And then they were like, Pharrell has reached out. He would love to work with you in Miami.
What?
And sure enough, I went out to Miami and I was
Did
really
he pick
nervous.
You up from the airport?
No, he right. didn't. I got there. It was actually because I got there the day earlier, so he wasn't going to pick me up and just drop me off the hotel. That would have been a bit weird. So I got there the next day and he was there and I was a bit nervous. I was a bit like, oh, what if I walk in? And he's like, oh, yeah, you, Connor, that's the one. Right. Or like, who are you? Yeah. But I got there and he was actually kind of like, he was more excited to meet me than I was to meet him. He'd been watching my videos for about 3 years on YouTube. And when he initially reached out, a few weeks prior to that, it was actually to sign me. He didn't realise that I was already signed. Oh. And then he kind of was like, and then he found
Awkward.
Out I was signed, and he was like, and then he's like, you know what, I'm just going to work with him anyway. And I spent a week with him in the studio. So
were you in his house?
No, he works out of a studio in Miami. It's kind of known as his studio, even though it isn't actually his.
Right. But did you go to his house?
No, I didn't go to his house.
But I wanted to know what his house was like.
But I met like a lot of his kind of famous friends, so that was
who,
pretty insane.
Who?
Right, okay, I'm about to drop some names on the floor. Here we go. Let me prepare myself.
Now I'm ready, everyone. Connor Maynard, drop some names.
Here we go. So on the third day, Ludacris rolled in. So that was pretty intense.
Yeah.
Tyler the Creator also rolled in. And then on the last day, as a surprise, I suppose, Pharrell took myself and my manager to a Tyler the Creator concert, took us backstage. Well, Lil Wayne was also there, so
this is bonkers, isn't it?
I know.
And that was just a few weeks ago.
That was literally about, probably about 3 weeks ago.
Do you think you'll stay in touch?
Yeah, I've got them on BBM. So maybe see them again one day.
Yeah.
So wait and see.
So did you make music with Pharrell?
Yeah, I spent a week in the studio with him working on my first album. So hopefully there'll be some cool potential collaborations on the album. So,
your life's gone a bit weird, hasn't it?
Yeah.
In a good way.
Things have gone very, very insane. The Scott
Mills Daily. Connor, this is my friend Chris.
Okay.
And you may have just seen a picture of Chris on the Newsbeat website.
I'm sorry about this.
This is obviously a story that is big on Newsbeat today. Mm. So last week, Chris, you went to Chester.
Yes.
to go get my heart scanned.
All fine?
Yeah, well, yeah, all good. But basically, it's a news story today, which is that young people and people involved in sport should go get their heart scanned. So quite a serious topic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the annoying thing is there is a picture of me, obviously, naked on the Newsbeat website yeah. right now.
Well, it's not naked,
covered in jelly.
Well, topless, covered in jelly.
You are covered in jelly, though.
I need to get in the gym and...
No, you don't. Don't stop being self-conscious. You look fine as it wow. is. That's the Newsbeat website, everybody,
brilliant.
If you want to have a look. You do look quite, quite stressed in it.
Well, what do you think?
And a little bit sad.
What do you...
You've got a sad face on.
You have a sad heart.
You were just saying that you need to up your YouTube game.
Yeah, I really do.
Connor's an inspiration yeah. to you.
I want to Skype Neo.
Yeah. I don't know if you'll end up Skyping Neo by posting that on
yeah,
the
don't
internet,
put that off. I put him right off.
Hey, man, I love your heart. Oh,
thank you. We were just saying, it's like those airport security machines now where they can see everything, can't they?
Yeah.
And we think they might have a wall of fame.
Yeah, that would be that would be hilarious.
Be unprofessional.
Someone saw that, yeah. They're not looking at what's in your pockets.
No, they're not. Because they can... Is it true? They can see everything, can't yeah. they? On those new ones. Well, I mean, it's all good. It's for security.
Yeah, it's all there. But my favourite was Chris. Chris, when we were talking about this before, he went, oh, I quite like one of them. Could you get a print off? I quite like it. It's my profile picture.
No, you
yeah.
can't.
It's like, they can see everything.
Yeah, they don't give you a print off at the end. It's not like a certificate.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks very much.
Yeah. Oh, it's laminated.
Right, so obviously we've been playing a lot of Can't Say No. What's the plan next then to get the album out?
Yes, there should be another single first, and then there will be the album, which is kind of around July time. But, closer to now, I'm about to start my first tour this Friday.
I know, we've got some people, like Ellie, who's 15, who can't wait to see you in Brighton on Saturday. You're in Brighton
on Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to go to my hometown on Saturday, so actually, I'm really looking forward to that.
That must be quite cool playing in your hometown.
Yeah, no, it is really weird, because I always have my mum in the audience, like, yeah! So,
is she right at the front?
No, not normally, no. Actually, to be fair, she hasn't been to one of my shows yet, but I think this will be the first one.
All right. So she's never seen the live Conor Maynard
experience?
No,
I normally tell her to, like, stay away.
So is all the family coming down?
For this one, I'm not sure. I think, you know, as things build and things kind of get bigger and bigger, I think they'll kind of come to one of those. But I think as at the moment when it's literally just a tiny room full of screaming people, then I think they can maybe not have to endure that. So.
And... obviously, you're doing a lot of quite small gigs at the moment, some schools.
Yes, about to do a performance for an all-girls school today.
Today?
So that's going to be, yeah, so after this, so it's going to be...
Can you see, Connor, can you see the look of jealousy in my friend's eyes? He's living your dream, Chris.
I'm so sorry.
He's Skyping Neo and playing at an all-girls school.
And today I'm actually going to get my heart scanned and I'm going to take a picture. So.
Listen, thank you very much for coming in today.
It's really nice to meet you.
Connor Maynard on The Chris Moore Show with Scott Mills. See you very soon.
In a beezy.
Thank you very much. Cheers, Connor.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Oh, what's a curtain?
Are you ruddo to win to Scott Mills points? It's time for Oh, What's a Curtain on Tuesday. Play along at home fun. Okay, here's your first one today. MasterChef's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good.
But the only thing better than MasterChef is Australian MasterChef.
I've never seen it.
What are you doing? It's so good.
I don't have the channels.
It's better than ours. I do think that.
Oh.
And the only thing better than Australian MasterChef is Junior Australian MasterChef.
Oh, no, I'm properly missing out.
Yeah, it's on at the moment, all the time in the day. Got a spare few hours.
I'm going to have to wait for it to come out on DVD. Do these things get released as box sets?
Do they do cooking shows on DVD? I'm not aware that MasterChef has ever been released on DVD. I think it's kind of the thing where you have to be there at the time.
Oh.
It'd be quite good, though, because there are loads of shows that I really want to be on DVD that just aren't, like Junior Australian MasterChef.
Oh, what's the curtain?
Guess what they were making on an edition of it the other day?
No.
Yes.
Pavlova.
Chris.
I take you want me to say Pavlova in an Australian accent.
Go. We taught you all week.
Pavlova.
Still good.
Still really good. So they were casually making some Pavlovas, which we have been discussing, all last week on the show. How much fun it is just to try and say Pavlova in Australian. Now, this next bit will either make you really feel hungry or really sick. It's going to go either way. But you know what I'm going to ask. How many times will they say
Pavlova.
In the episode of Australian Junior MasterChef when they made Pevs.
Oh, how many people are still left in it in this episode? Can you give me a clue or not?
Not a clue.
Okay, 32.
32 Pavlovas?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Becky's saying. Chris, what are you saying?
I'm going to go 21.
Let's find out.
Oh, what's occurring?
So, it's Australia Junior MasterChef making the dish from Down Under. Pavlova.
First challenge of today is the perfect pavlova.
I love pavlovas.
Zach, are you a bit of a pavlova king?
Yeah, I love pavlova.
Guys, you're going to have 80 minutes to produce the perfect pavlova. And your time starts now.
Now tell me about your pavlova.
Well, it's just a basic pavlova.
The perfect pavlova.
For my normal pavlova that I make, it's
the pavlova.
The perfect pavs. I've never cooked a pavlova before.
The pavlova mix is tasting really good.
What kind of pavlova are you making today?
Today I'm making my dad's 50-50 pavlova. His favourite dessert is pavlova.
At the end of this pavlova challenge...
There's so many different types of pavlovas out there.
Pavlova.
Pavlova. Pavlova.
Oh, no.
Well, my pavlova kind of crushed.
Don't worry, it looks awesome.
Even though my pavlova just cracked.
It'll be fine.
Guys, we need to see a picture-perfect pavlova on a plate. You've got 30 seconds to go. Pavlova, we can't wait. Pavlova, we can't wait. Pavlova, we can't wait.
Tell us about your pavlova.
Pavlova.
Pavlova?
Pavlova.
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 I can see your pavlova.
Can't read my, no, we can't read my. Pavlova.
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 But I won't do that.
And that's what a pavlova is all about.
No, yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Like,
I
there
love
is
the
nothing
pets.
That, like, I thought there was nothing better than hearing an Australian say pavlova, and there is. It's an Australian kid saying pavlova.
I know. Every time.
It's the cutest thing.
Every time anyone said pavlova, you are. Oh.
I know, so cute.
I want one. I want one. There were 46 pavlovas there.
Oh my god.
Quite a lot. You said 32. You were nearest, but I'm afraid I can't give you the Scott Mills points.
Oh.
It had to be bang on. I'm not just giving them away.
That's tight.
I know. It's quite a good game, this. Just replace any word in a song with pavlova. Play along at home. It's fun. Here's Aloe Black.
Pavlova.
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 That's what I
need. Good, isn't it? No? The hours fly by. And now, Adele.
When the rain is blowing in your face and the whole world is on your case, I could offer you a warm embrace.
Yes.
To make you feel my
pavlova.
You can even do it with 70s love god Barry White.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. There's many times that we've loved and we've shared
pavlova
and made
pavlova.
It doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough.
Pavlova.
It's just not enough.
Pavlova.
Oh, oh, baby. My darling, I
yes.
Can't get enough of you.
Pavlova.
You see? You can do it with anything.
I love it.
Thank you. Do you like it, Chris?
It's very subtle, isn't it? The pavlova.
Ah. God bless Junior MasterChef Australia. What a show. Okay, if you said 46 Pavs, then give yourself 10 Scott Mills points. Now, yesterday on the show, Becky was saying that when you went to the supermarket, you were buying what?
Melons.
And what did two different blokes say to you?
Nice melons.
You see, they can't help the they can't help the obvious joke. It didn't really work with mangoes so much yesterday on the streets.
No, I forgot my melons, bought mangoes instead, didn't have the sim. I got one nice pair, not on the radio, and that was it. So I've got no proof so far that this actually happens in real life.
They just can't help themselves, most people, with a joke. Now, a lot of you said that people can't help doing the obvious gag if you're holding two jugs in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't source the owls.
what was that one for again? Nice
hooters.
Nice hooters, yeah.
So we are going to put this to the test. Becky, you've got your two jugs.
I have.
Okay, next we're going to send you out onto the street to hold two jugs up and see if they say it. All right?
Yeah.
Out you go.
What's the
curtis? The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
So, we're testing out yesterday's theory when Becky was in the supermarket and two blokes said, nice melons, because there was a bog off for buy one, get one free on the melons. If Becky stands outside right now on a busy London street holding up two jugs, which we have found, in 1 minute, how many people won't be able to resist it and will say, nice jugs? Hi, Becky.
Hi.
Are you on the streets?
I am. It's pouring with rain at the moment, so I look like I'm doing a different science experiment where I'm collecting rainwater.
Okay, good. So the jugs are getting full of rain.
They are, yes.
So we're going to test this out. Helen's been on from Leicester. She says, I work for a supplier of jugs, glass and ceramic. Rarely a day goes by without someone in the office saying nice jugs. And we work here. It never gets old. Well, let's see. Guess along at home. How many passers-by on the streets of London won't be able to resist and think they're being hilarious by saying the words, nice jugs, as Becky holds up two jugs? What are you saying, Chris?
It's got to happen. I have faith in men. I'm going to go three.
Did you hear that?
What?
Did you hear that?
No.
I got a nice jug.
Yes.
Oh, yes. We haven't even started the minute yet.
Oh.
Right, Chris says three. I'm going to guess and say in 1 minute, five. Let me know what you think at home. Becky, your minute starts now. Hold up the jugs.
The jugs are being held up. There's lots of people going past. Everyone's trying to get out of the rain rather than actually... You can tell... The funny thing about this is you can tell people are thinking it because they all smirk, but no one's actually said it yet.
Are they all looking at you thinking...
I'm holding them, like, not provocatively, because I don't think you can do that with jugs, but I am holding them up in prime position. People are just laughing. No one's saying it.
Oh.
Can I ask for people to comment on my jugs? I can't really,
no,
can I?
Not really. You just got to hold them up. Hold up the jugs.
I'm holding them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. This isn't working again.
We had one before the minute.
Oh, I just got a wink. I just got a wink. Oh,
didn't say it, though. Just a wink.
No, he didn't say it. Oh, okay. How much longer? I'm getting a bit embarrassed.
10 seconds.
Okay. Here comes Chris.
Right.
That doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Chris just went outside. That doesn't... That doesn't...
That's cheating.
That isn't one. That's not allowed. Wow, okay. That didn't really work. But you claimed that there was a nice jugs before the minute started, but I didn't hear it.
There was. It was a girl.
Okay, well... In the minute, no one said it apart from Chris, who works on the show and knew exactly what was going on. Okay, experiment done. Come back.
Thank you.
Nice jugs.
Oh, what's the curtain?
If you said zero people, give yourself 10 Scott Mills points.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hey, everyone, let's do some show and tell. One of the class brings in something and tells us about it. It's educational. And today... It's Chris's turn.
Hasn't he shown us enough already with his picture of his semi-naked on the Newsbeat website at the moment?
Keep mentioning it.
There for everyone to see. It's actually quite a serious topic about how people that play sports should get their hearts checked. And there's a lovely picture of Chris looking quite forlorn on the Newsbeat website. It looks like you're missing somebody.
Brilliant. You use a different description every time you mention it.
As they apply the gel, the jelly.
Anyway, do you want my show and tell?
Yes, what is it?
It's a blinder today.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this show on Channel 5? It's Eddie Stobart. I think it's called Trucks and Trailers.
Oh, I've seen maybe a bit of one episode and that's it, but I know that you tweet about it all the time.
It's without a doubt my favourite show at the moment.
Why?
Well, because it's just an average job from what I can see, but it's turned into this really tense drama by Channel 5. It's just brilliant.
Coming up...
The town is absolutely chocking out.
There's late-night drama for trucker Kevin Durkin on the graveyard shift. Long-haul driver Aidan Doody is all at sea, racing to catch a truck ferry to England.
You basically need to keep your wits about you. We're nearly there.
It's MOT time at the Stobart Garage. A mechanic, Jeff, gets to show off his massive tool.
Hope the wife's not watching.
There's a bloke getting his MOT done.
Yeah.
There's someone who's almost there.
But doesn't it sound exciting?
They've made it sound like the Bourne Identity.
It's just full of drama.
Okay.
And I've got a load of clips from it.
Okay,
I know you're going to love this.
So this should be everyone's new favourite TV show, and this is because it's your show and tell today.
Yeah.
Okay. So what have we got?
Well, check out the first clip.
Getting on board won't be easy as the ferry is completely rammed. For Aidan to squeeze on, he's going to have to complete one of the toughest trucking manoeuvres. The backward embarkation.
That's basically reversing. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, all that drama, the backward embarkation.
Yeah. Put a bit of music on it, it just shows you how powerful music is, and you don't often notice it, but it really jazzes things up a bit, especially when you're getting your MOT done. Or reversing.
So he's just got to reverse his lorry.
Yeah.
And I've got some clips to show you. If he manages it, it's very
first,
exciting.
He must swing his truck into position in line with the boat's landing ramp.
Concentration, really? Just trying to get a swing over here now.
Once aligned, he must reverse up a 100-metre ramp to ensure he's facing the right direction to disembark in the morning.
I can't cope with this. This is stressing me out. He's only reversing.
He's just reversing.
No reversing is ever the same. It's always a challenge. I have to watch out for him as well.
With his trailer carrying a whopping 24 tons, one mistake now and the truck and load could plunge into the Irish Sea.
Yeah, but it won't, will it?
It won't, no.
It's not going to happen.
Of course it's not going to.
That's not going to happen.
What, is there no sides on this? Like, is it not just like driving onto a normal passenger ferry?
That's all he's doing.
He's driving onto a ferry.
So every time I drive onto a ferry, yeah. I could plunge into the sea at any point.
I mean, it's unlikely, but you could.
Oh my God, I thought it was like safe on the ramp and then like, the sides of the boat and then the big car park in the middle.
I don't know whether he's going to make it.
What do you reckon, Becky?
Well, I think if he hadn't made it, it would have been on the news. So I'm going to say I hope he's made it.
Aidan inches the truck on with textbook precision.
Oh God. That's us. Happy days.
Safely in position, Aidan can finally clock off for the night.
Find a cabin, find a food. Night, Irene.
Oh. He did it!
Who's Irene? But who's Irene? Where's she come from?
I think it's just his slogan or...
Is that the name of the truck?
Even the mechanics are made to sound really dramatic.
Excellent. Okay, let's hear that.
If a truck has a problem and no one else can help, the bosses call on the vehicle maintenance unit.
Right, so they're the blokes that fix your truck?
They're the mechanics.
Right, wow.
It's just great.
Isn't it good? They can make anything sound really exciting.
It's all in the narration and the music. Do you want to hear another dramatic thing that happened?
Yes, please.
Aidan makes it to the builder's yard in just 60 minutes. But just as it looks like he'll make the drop ahead of schedule, his Gaelic good luck runs out.
We have another truck ahead of us.
The builder's merchant is chock-a-block.
Mind how high it is.
Wasn't a good place to park a car?
If Aidan's going to complete the job, he's going to have to squeeze his truck through a gauntlet of parked cars.
Oh, no.
Someone's basically just parked in his space.
Right, and he's in a busy shop.
You know what I mean? That's it. Someone parked in his space.
That's not good, though. That would stress you out. Especially if you had this music behind it.
Do you reckon he's going to make it?
I don't know.
So he decides to check out what he's up against.
Pretty tight entrance. Invite her up to it and see what happens.
Is that one? I think it is.
You should have kept that for a new intro.
That should have been on bingo. Oh, I'm not sure he's going to do this. Is he going to be able to...
It's going to be close, isn't it?
Aidan takes the turn at a wider angle.
Oh.
I've got to get another swing out of here now.
And this time, he squeezes past the gates.
Now we're in. As you can see, there's a very small yard. We're here.
I like it they always change it to sea shanty music when they've done well.
Yeah.
Because there was a moment there where I thought, he's not going to make that.
God, it's so exciting, isn't it?
I don't know how you... I mean, I would be, like, in the edge of my seat watching this. So, you know the programmes where you have to actually kind of grip the sofa because it's so tense?
Yeah.
It's one of them, isn't it?
Do you see why this is my favourite TV show?
Yeah. Really good.
But wouldn't it be great if your life was, like, narrated like this? Do you know what I mean?
He
so
weaves
exciting.
His 54-foot beast from hell through the busy streets to get to the shop. But the curse of the demon trailer strikes.
He's nicked our spot.
It's basically just, you know what I mean? It's parts in the way.
So did you just say that you wanted someone to narrate your life like this? You can't have someone going, he unleashes his 54-foot beast on the way to the shops, because
well,
you
no.
don't have one. That just sounds weird.
No, but if you could jazz it up, like like yesterday, for example.
Chris is going out to feed the ducks.
Yeah.
Only he's realised he hasn't got any bread. Will the shop still be open? Will he make it in time?
Of course he will. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You can get bread from any shop.
And then he just have him going, yes, I've got some. And then a little...
Chris has got a loaf of crusty white bread.
Yeah. Do you want to hear one more disaster?
Oh, yes, please. Edge of my seat.
3/4 of the way through his offload, disaster strikes.
Oh, you could tell that the disaster was striking by the change in music. Listen.
3/4 of the way through his offload, disaster strikes.
Oh, God.
What do you reckon's going to happen?
Oh, I don't know. Is he going to lose his keys?
I think a song he doesn't like comes on the radio.
Do you think?
Yeah. It's like
God,
Rihanna instead
no,
of Adele.
No, it's probably Gotye again.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God. Ding, 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 ding.
John hates this one. He's heard it too many times. A partygoer has taken a tumble down a flight of stairs.
Oh.
Kevin and the supermarket staff rush to his aid.
Good hand up the stairs. Is she bleeding, man?
Much to everyone's relief, the man is on his feet, shaken but not stirred.
Oh, everything's fine again.
A guy fell over in front of the truck. Like, just to the side of the truck.
This is brilliant.
It's the best show ever.
When's it on?
Friday nights. And it's well worth a watch. It's brilliant.
Yeah, we should definitely do your one. A bit like, because we started off doing a soap on your life, didn't we, while ago, called It's Chris.
That was awful, that. Him and Dougsy just walking down the road and then waking up and forgetting to brush their teeth.
Yeah, it wasn't that exciting,
there
but...
There was nothing in it.
With the music...
Chris is going out to buy a sandwich. Or will he go for chicken? Or prawn? The shop is busy.
No.
Yeah, I really like that. It. I think that's where we went wrong with the documentary, is that we got Hasselhoff to narrate it.
Yeah, we need more drama. We need to get that guy off, Eddie Stobart,
yes.
to get on board. I'm sure he's available. Thank you very much. Friday nights, Channel 5. That is going in my planner. And that was today's show and tell. Thanks, Chris, for bringing that to our attention. Nice one.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, let's get into this.
Can you hold your nerve? Can you hold your water? This is Innuendo Bingo.
Time for your Tuesday dose of Innuendo Bingo on BBC Radio 1. Maybe you just got to work. Maybe you're at uni and you've got a few spare moments to play along. You can do it solo or with a friend. Just get some cups of water. Make sure you're somewhere safe, not near any equipment. And then wait for the clips of innuendo with the water in your mouth. Obviously, if you find them funny... You'll spit it out. That's how we do it. Innuendo Bingo, Tuesdays and Thursdays. I really would like you to keep on the lookout for some clips that may be suitable for Innuendo Bingo as well. Loads of you do this, and I know it does require work and telling me what the programme was and kind of what time and what they said. So I'm thinking of offering out some Scott Mills points if yours gets used on air. A bit like, you know, on You've Been Framed, where I think they still send you £250, don't they, if your clip gets used?
Mm, that's a good idea.
Of you falling over at your wedding? So, how many points shall I give? Should it be the same as you've been framed?
Yeah, 250, I reckon.
250 points?
Yeah.
You normally get 10 for getting an answer right on it. Oh, mind you, it's quite a lot of work, isn't it? Yeah, it is requiring you to do work. Okay, cool.
Are you saying that a Scott Mills point is worth a quid and can be redeemed from yourself?
No, I'm not saying that.
Oh, rubbish.
It's just kind of the number matches, that's it. So, if you spot some innuendo on TV or radio, send it in to me. You can use my email, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Just put bingo in the subject or whatever. It'll get to me. And if we use yours on air, you can award yourself 250 Scott Mills points. Now, there's an incentive. And thanks very much if you've been sending them in already. Because we do it twice a week now, you see. We need loads. All right, boys and girls, are we ready for today's bingo?
Oh, yes.
Let me know if you're playing along at home. 81199. No protection today, just standard clothing.
What?
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Got your water in your mouths?
Chris has a really farty chair. So every time he moves forward, it makes like a really...
Okay, that's not going to help, is it? Water, please. Stop it with the farty chair! You're making her laugh. Oh, you soiled yourself,
sit
Becky.
Sit still, please.
Oh. This is stupid. Come on.
This is a studio. We have the noisiest chairs.
Come on. Got your water in your gobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now let's head over to EastEnders.
Derek, listen. Phil caught me banged to rights, OK? Would it help if I said I was sorry? It wouldn't even touch the sides.
What was that pathetic dribble? Becky's like, one?
I was fine on that.
Yeah, no spitting at all. And Chris just let out a pathetic dribble.
It wouldn't even touch the sides.
Okay, more water, please. More water.
Mm-hmm.
And let's head over to Radio 4 and the show The Reunion.
Penny Blankers-Koen was in the end to win 4 gold medals, including the 80 metres hurdles. Some found all the attention on Fanny that year a little hard to swallow.
Becky was first, Chris second. Tried to hold it in, but it wasn't happening, was it?
It wasn't working.
Really not.
Some found all the attention on Fanny that year a little hard to swallow.
Okay. Next one. Don't lose it this early on, Chris.
Right, come on.
BBC TV's 2012 is our next bit of innuendo bingo.
Yes, no, absolutely. Not at all. You two. Bye.
Hi. Hey, it's Daniel.
Ah, right, of course, Daniel. Yes, hi.
No, don't make a fuss. I'm not going to bother you. I'm going to slip right in. You'll hardly notice, really.
Chris has held it. Right, keep it there, Chris. Don't swallow it.
Don't make a fuss. I'm not going to bother you. I'm going to slip right in. You'll hardly notice, really.
There we are. Knew we'd get there eventually.
That was a good one.
Good one, isn't it?
In the face.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. It's wet now, isn't it?
Blah.
Blah. More water, please. Ready? What is going on in the Formula One?
Two very disappointed young men. One a double world champion, one man who's fought for a title. Look at that, Eddie.
My God, where is that finger now, I ask? Hey, that's disappeared in one swoop, hasn't it? My God.
Yeah, he's using it to hold his helmet at the moment.
A double whammy there.
Oh, no.
I thought I was safe.
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
You hit me with the helmet at the end.
Oh, I know.
Don't say that.
Okay. Come on.
Okay, Red eye? Yeah.
Chris, come on.
I'm not red eye.
You are not red eye.
Okay.
These hours getting to you, Chris. Come on, you're not giving yourself a chance. Stop it. Okay, deep breath. Got your water? This is from BBC Leicester. No idea what's going on here.
I'm going to have a lie down after this.
10 seconds.
Oh, no.
I'm coming. I'm coming.
Five, four, three, two, one.
I found it. You have failed to find the treasure. I've got it in my hand.
What was that?
That was brilliant.
No idea.
It made me like do a little fountain up Chris's hair.
Okay.
I love a countdown.
Next one. Right? Mm. Anyone for cooking? Mm. The show we were talking about earlier. Little Paris Kitchen. Mm. Ready?
A couple of tablespoons. I might use a little bit of salt in there. Pinch of sugar with your mignonette. Let it sit for a little while.
Benjamin is shucking my oysters.
That's not even one.
Benjamin is shucking my oysters.
Did you spit then, Becky?
No, I was fine.
All right, Chris.
Benjamin is shucking my oysters.
Oh, yeah, that was today's innuendo bingo. Let us know how you did with it today on 81199. Did you spit? Or did you hold your water? Hello, Pete was playing along in his tractor. Isla, getting ready for uni. Don't play it with tea. That's silly, it's hot. Frankie from the Wirral also enjoying playing along. Can we hear that BBC Leicester one again? What was going on there?
I'm going to have a lie down after this.
10 seconds.
Oh, no. I'm coming. I'm coming.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I found it. I've got it.
To find the treasure.
I've got it in my hand.
Looking for treasure or something. If anyone heard that at the time on BBC Leicester, can you maybe let us know what's happening there?
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And now time for the Somerset Rap Queen to spit some more bars. Today it is a difficult one. Props if you get this right, because it's hard. Watch out now. She's going in.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Bop. Bop. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Bop. Bop. Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 I've created a monster, because nobody wants to see Marshall no more. They want Shady, I'm chopped liver. Well, if you want Shady, this is what I'll give you. A little bit of me mixed with some hard liquor, some vodka. That'll jumpstart my heart quicker than a shark when I get shocked at the hospital by the doctor. When I'm not cooperating, when I'm rocking the table while he's operating. You waited this long to stop debating, because I'm back, I'm on the rag and ovulating. I know that you get a job, Miss Cheney, but your husband's heart problem's complicated. So the FCC won't let me be, or let me be me, so let me see. They tried to shut me down on MTV, but it feels so empty without me. Come on, dip, bum on your lips, jump back, jiggle the hip, and wiggle a bit. Get ready, this is about to get heavy. I just settled all my lawsuits. Debbie? Kills feeling rebellious, embarrassed, the parents still listen to Elvis. They start feeling like prisoners helpless, till someone comes along on a mission and yells, a visionary, vision is scary, could start a revolution, polluting the airwaves, a rebel. So just let me revel and bask in the fact that I got everyone kissing my... And it's a disaster, such a catastrophe, for you to see so damn much of my ass, you ask for me. Well, I'm back, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Fix your bent antenna, tune it in, and then I'm gonna enter in, and up on your skin like a splinter. The center of attention, back for the winter, I'm into resting. The best thing since wrestling, infesting in your kids' ears and nesting. Testing, attention please, feel the tension. Soon as someone mentions me, here's my 10 cents. My 2 cents is free, a new sense. Who sent? You sent for me? Now this looks like a job for me. So everybody just follow me, cause we need a little controversy, cause it feels so empty without me. I said this looks like a job for me.
Well, I'm blown away again. That was... It's a massive track, that, because you just can't breathe in it, can you?
Could you tell?
Guess he's back. I thought it finished you off at one point. I mean, yeah. Well, can you... What was the noise at the beginning, please? Bop.
Yeah, that's the noise he does. He goes, bop. No? Is it a word? I just always thought it was a bop.
Guess who's back? Bop.
Yeah. Oh, same bop. As Eminem.
Same. That was today's Becky Raps Eminem. It was a challenge, but she did it.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
What have you been saying this week? Do you want to get in touch with us? I need some more Dear Scott emails for later this week. You could be read out by the posh Radio 4 lady with anything you want to say. It's your forum to talk about what you want. Email me, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
I was listening to yesterday's podcast when you were talking about the Australian Lady PM.
Ah, the Prime Minister of Australia.
Julia Gillard.
This got me wondering about other female world leaders. There are currently 18. However, my absolute fave is the president of Costa Rica, Laura Chinchilla. Best name ever. Just thought you might like that. Jade from High Wycombe, XXXX.
Just because of her name, I think she is going to become my new favourite, and Julia Gillard will be toppled from my number one on my list.
Just Google her. She's toppled. She's off.
Is she?
Yeah. She wins. Chinchilla.
I was commenting, not in a harsh way, but just that Julia Gillard, the Prime Minister of Australia... doesn't look like a prime minister. She looks like she could be a store manager somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
You were criticising her taste in suits, which I think from you is a little bit off, considering that...
From you?
Because that was the sort of trigger from Only Fools and Horses number that you wore to some TV ceremony once, which I still can't get out of my head.
I'm never going to be able to let that go, am I?
It was
or
like
you?
A shiny blue...
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just saying she doesn't look like a prime minister should. I don't know what that is, but I don't think she's got it. Sorry, Julia. Anyway.
And did you think that David Cameron and Tony Blair had it?
Absolutely. Anyway, Chinchilla is my new fave. Next.
What is it? I want to
Dear Scott, I haven't included the PR4L, Becky, the one that doesn't speak, Chris, etc., as I fear only you are senior enough to authorise my request.
Ooh, what's this?
I need to book 3 weeks holiday / listening leave from the 13th to the 31st of August 2012, please. I know it's quite early to be requesting this, but it's very important as it's for my wedding and honeymoon, and I don't think my fiancé will be very pleased if I tell her she has to go on her own, as I couldn't get the time off.
I think that I can't really talk in this situation. I used to ask listeners to fill in holiday leave forms if they weren't going to be listening, if they did need to go somewhere else and not tune into the show. But I've been all over the place lately. I've been doing this show, I've been doing my new show for a week, and before that I was doing 4 till 7. I'm everywhere.
Next week you're off?
Next week I'm off. So I can't really ask you to be filling in the holiday forms if I'm all over the place as much as I am.
I'm sure you can cope without me, but if not, I trust my fellow listeners in Listenerland will help me out, given the advance notice. Love you, bye. Alex, off of Essex.
Alex is absolutely fine. Just notify me nearer the time and you can have the time off. That's okay.
We definitely need someone to fill in because I think we might be in Edinburgh that week.
Oh, yeah. If you can find a replacement listener for you, then you can go. That's the deal.
It's like if you go on maternity leave, you don't need to fill in a form because when you come back, you'll have brought an extra one with you.
Yeah, true. And those are the ones we need.
Yeah, the young'uns.
Yeah. Next.
Dear Scott, Becky, Chris and the rest of the team, I'm an avid listener of your daily podcast on the way to work each day. And I fear I may have taken things a little too far. It would appear I have picked up certain phrases and expressions and now use them subconsciously. Recently, I helped to marshal a local fun run. The run is only 5 miles and includes people of all ages, shapes and sizes from our town and further afield.
I think I know where this is going.
Mm.
My role was to simply stand on the side of the road, encourage the runners as they go by and ensure they didn't take the wrong route. As time went on and the last of the runners were passing me, my enthusiasm was dwindling and my mind clearly went wandering to find alternative ways of encouragement other than, carry on, you're doing well. Unfortunately, the runners passing me at this point were of a larger build, who clearly take running less seriously than the others. It was at this point, without thinking, I blurted out the phrase, go on pigs, in the appropriate accent. I felt myself go very red as the embarrassment came over me, and I received multiple glares from all the runners. I was unsure whether to run off, knowing they would be unable to catch me, given their size and level of fatigue, or pretend it was someone else who said it. In the end, I did neither and just put my head down, hoping the pavement would swallow me up. What would your advice be for anyone who is unfortunate enough to find themselves in a similar situation? Much love, James, off of Suffolk.
James, that is an error.
OMG.
Just all you have to do, because I've done it before, you just have to really think.
What, accidentally shouted, "Go on, pigs," marshalling a fun run?
There was an incident by some traffic lights the other day where I didn't realise that there were some larger Japanese ladies next to me, and I just shouted, I just blurted it out, and it wasn't speaking to them. I just sometimes, it just comes out. You know, you've been with me, Chris, when this happens.
Of course, I've done this in the supermarket myself.
Sometimes you just go, "Go on, pigs," you can't stop it. And then you realise who's next to you, and it's like, oh no, they think I'm talking about them, that's really awful. So just think long and hard before you shout, "Go on, pigs," anywhere, and look around you and see what's in the vicinity.
But I don't think "go on pigs" is a bad thing. Like, I'd love it if I was walking down the street and I got a "go on pigs."
Not if you were the last to finish the race.
I was in my spot relief 6-miler. They were taking the course down as I crossed the line. The line wouldn't have been there if I'd been 10 seconds later.
I like it when they open up the roads again. Then you know you've done quite a slow time. Oh, all right, okay.
All the tape had gone.
Cars seem to be coming down here now. Must try harder. Anything else you want to say on Dear Scott? Email scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads.